so hard not to just rap this song right now. Just, I really want to right now. Ah, man. Anyway, hour two of the Blitz starting right now. Live here on Fan Run Radio, 1340 AM, 105.7 FM. Live in your Fan Run Radio app. Free wherever you get your apps. Take us with you on the go. We're live in the Fan Run Radio web browser. If you want to watch us live, well, you can do so on Twitter or Facebook. But we're going to start off hour two directly with, we're heading directly to the Big Orange Philly phone lines. We got a call from Roberto. Roberto, thanks for staying through the hour. How are you on this Thursday morning?
Oh, I'm excellent. I'm glad you played me back in with one of the great songs of my generation. You have a funny story about that. Alberto is actually friends with Dustin Colquitt. I'm sure you guys know who that is.
Of course.
And when we were like 6, 7 years old, me and Dustin Colquitt used to try our best to break dance in my basement to that song. Right there.
That's a good memory.
That is a real story.
That is awesome.
And he is on record as admitting that on an old radio station here in town when me and a buddy interviewed him. Real story. Fun stuff. Guys, I just wanted to be brought up first and foremost that your boy was right last week. When I went to bat and told you if Vontrell Miller played, he'd be worth anywhere from 3.5 to 7 points. First major play of the game, how many points did he pull off the board?
7.
Was it 3 or was it 7? There you go. Yeah, I mean, I say that, and I should have at that point known that at that point I knew I should have played Florida on the points. But then again, and this is my question to you guys, we've gone back and forth, like we, my friends and I and everybody in the world has gone back and forth on Tennessee's defense, right? Guys, with 5 minutes exactly to go in that game, so 55 minutes of play, would you have said that our defensive scheme was really good that game?
I would say that the scheme, actually, yeah, it was pretty good. If anything, the problem was with the execution. You know, you had guys that broke contain, that didn't attack the upfield shoulder, and you know, you missed some tackles. But I thought the game plan of keep everything in front of you and, you know, death by, what do they call it, death by like a million paper
cuts
or whatever, 1,000 cuts. Like, I thought that that's basically it. We're just going to put pressure on you by controlling the possessions. We're going to keep everything in front of us, and we're going to make you beat – you know, we're going to make you beat us 8 yards, 10 yards at a time. And if it's a field goal or less, that's a win. And I thought the game plan itself was good. The execution was so-so.
Okay. But with 4 minutes and 50, call it 2 seconds to go in the game, Tennessee was up 38-21.
Right.
And if you told me that on Monday morning last week, or if I told you that, would you guys have said, we did an okay job, like good enough, right?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Yeah.
So my problem is the way we actually, this is crazy. I think we hurt our defense by the way we played on our last offensive drive. I don't know why we went for it. I sure as hell don't know why we threw for it, because Hendon Hooker was apparently like had stoved up on that last possession. Like he was hurting even worse than he had been hurting all game. And from what I understand, he had told the staff he didn't feel great, which is strange. So why do you roll him out and throw to the guy who arguably had the worst game of his career? Prince of Fant was bad on Saturday. So my question to you gentlemen is, looking back, would you have taken the points? I mean, I think hindsight's 20/20. You say you take the points there, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that with that play call, Heupel and whoever else thought that they must have seen something where they thought that Florida was fully committed to the run, where you could just hit a quick play action and roll out Princeton Fant and pick up 3 yards, and it just wasn't there. You know, Florida covered it well. Looking back,
who made that tackle? I'm not joking here. I'm not trying.
I actually don't remember.
Was that Vontrell Miller as well?
I'm not entirely sure. I don't remember. Also, I feel like Florida, by the way, was just kind of sandbagging us all on Miller's injury.
Oh,
he did not play like a player. That was
100%.
Yeah.
And if you remember, your boy Berto here jumped on there and told you my cousin played at Florida, and he told me he's going to play.
Yeah. He looked pretty
healthy. They were 100% sandbagging that injury. Yeah, it looked pretty healthy. Looked like a top five linebacker in the conference. Yeah, yeah, he looked okay.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when he took that left hook and absolutely obliterated that ball out of a tight end's hands. If that tells you anything.
Right.
I mean, that was just incredible.
But in terms of late game execution, though, I do think it's just it's a situation you like aren't overly comfortable in yet as a football team. And the four-minute offense, like,
are you speaking on offense? I'm sorry?
Yeah.
Are you speaking on offense? Well, then why take your foot off the gas then? Just try to pound it and score again. You know, I get the gamesmanship of it and trying to take the air out of the ball and run clock, and I think everybody really wants us to do that. But if you're not comfortable, do what you're comfortable with and hang another seven up there.
Yeah, I mean, I do agree, like, yeah, I'm you typically in favor of keeping your foot on the gas. I mean, I think also next time that Tennessee's trying to ice a game, next time you're in the four-minute drill, it's going to look crisper. It's going to look cleaner. You know, you can practice that as much as you want, but it's just a little bit different when you're trying to execute it on the field. And, I mean, you look back, that's probably, what, the second time that Tennessee's been in a situation like that under Josh Heupel, the first time being Kentucky last year. And if I –
Didn't do really well then either.
Yeah, you didn't look great there either, but I think there you kept your foot on the gas a little bit more, and that didn't really work either.
Yeah, I think execution was the right word. And also, I mean, Billy Napier, Sunbelt Billy, just basically came out and said he was just trying to cover the spread. You heard that the other day in his presser. That's what he said. Like, when the spread's 10, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no coach should ever say that. And I'll tell you
that. That's hilarious.
Go back and listen to his Monday presser and how he talks about the analytics, and he literally talks about the spread. And he basically all but admits he was just playing to keep it close and pray to God that they just didn't get blown out, because they thought they were getting blown out. And that is straight from inside Florida's program. They thought they were getting murked on Saturday. They did.
Yeah, it was one of those
and
things
they were
where
happy to be in the game.
He wasn't playing for a tie. He was playing like we need to win in regulation, so we're going to be a little bit more –
Exactly. And when you go for it, what, six times or seven times on fourth down, and, you know, you're in third and long a ton of times, and yes, we could all say we need to bring more pressure in third and long, and that's fine or whatever. But when you do that many times, you believe in your guts you have no chance to beat this team. And that was actually refreshing for me while watching the game. I was like, they have no belief that they're going to beat us. They think they're getting run today. And they're literally going to do – they're going to just do whatever it takes to keep the ball out of our hands. And that their best defense on Saturday, they being Florida, was continuing to convert those fourth downs, fourth and twos, fourth and fours. And lastly, gentlemen, the misses and I, we were supposed to go to the beach with our kids this week, but it looks like our condo is pretty much going to be flooded.
Ooh.
So we decided to we're going to go to Baton Rouge. We're going to go to Louisiana next week, go to New Orleans, and then go to Baton Rouge. Just going to see if you guys have ever been there, because I've actually never been to Baton Rouge, and just your thoughts on the general area, anything we really need to see or do. Guys, I hope you have a really great day.
Hey, appreciate you, Roberto, as always. Hope you have an even better one. In terms of Baton Rouge, I've never been down there. Have you, Andy?
I've never been to New Orleans either.
I've been to New Orleans when I think I was like 13 or 14, so I couldn't really give you any great advice. It was sticky.
Yeah.
Like, that was my lasting impression of New Orleans. I was like, man, this is a sticky city. Like,
people
even
not
in the areas
from,
that shouldn't be sticky, they were just kind of sticky.
People not from New Orleans don't typically go when they're 13.
Yeah. Yeah, it was weird.
Yeah.
I was getting on, like, a cruise ship from there.
I gotcha. Okay.
Baton Rouge, though, it's one of the only SEC towns I haven't been to. I was really excited to go next week until old SEC and ESPN and whoever else decided to put it at noon. So, no, I don't have a ton of advice there. Obviously you've heard great things about what the bar scene, Tigerland, and all that, and I think they have like a lot of like open bars and all you can drink specials and stuff. So, like, that's probably fun. I don't know if that's like the crowd you're looking for or not.
Do they still have Mike the Tiger chilling out by the stadium?
Did he get like cancer?
What?
Like a couple years ago?
What?
Am I making
that up? I
don't know. Is there a new Mike the Tiger?
Well, they probably do it like every school does when they have a real animal.
I don't know.
You kind of shuffle some new ones in there. They have a tiger cam. They have a live feed of Mike the Tiger. He has a whole area. There's a live stream going on right now.
He died with a battle. The old Mike died of cancer.
Dang. Well, this is going to be a... Oh, I'm watching the live stream right now, and there is a legit tiger walking around campus.
Wait, multiple Mikes have gotten cancer?
Really? It's going to be a revenge.
Well, here's
game
an article
then.
From 2019 from NOLA.com. Inside look at Mike the Tiger's cancer treatment. There but then is. In 2016, Mike the Tiger dies from cancer. So I guess multiple
Brutal.
Tigers have had cancer for them. That's wild.
Well, I'm looking at one right now, and he seems pretty healthy.
Okay. Well, apparently 2019, one recovered from cancer.
Oh, good. That's good to hear.
Yeah. Now, I do have some friends, though, that went to LSU. So I'll hit them up. And I'll see what I can find out for you between now and next week in terms of, you know, any of the best spots to hit while you're down there, Roberto. But when you go back and look at that game, I mean, like you said, it was 38-21 with like 5.5 minutes left. In my eyes, you dominated a football game, especially in the second half. You dominated the Florida Gators, and the score doesn't reflect it. But the reality is that, you know, you let up with 5.5 minutes left. It's human nature sometimes. You kind of coasted the end, and especially when you're not really like used to being in that situation either. And you know, as you start to get comfortable with the late game, you know, winning a football game like that, the execution, what it takes to close out and win a football game, sometimes there are some lumps early. So it's better to, you know, to make some mistakes in a win and be able to go back and correct those and analyze what you did in the end of that football game, the final 5.5 minutes. So next time you're in that situation, you can do it better. And I think that Josh Heupel and company will do it better next time around. At least I hope they better. It better not become a pattern.
Yeah, first time all year, as you mentioned. That's the first time they've had to do that. So
and, you know, against Kentucky last year too, but different team. It's just it's Florida, and there's just a lot of – you know, weird voodoo, magic, whatever else that happens to the side of it. And I'm not overly worried about the final 5.5 minutes of that game because I do think that you dominated Florida. You did. And you should have. You should have covered that spread. You should have won money, Roberto. I'm sorry you didn't. We don't have time for an opening drive today, but I do need to know, Andy, did we win? Are we Southern League champions?
No. Unfortunately not. The Pensacola Blue Wahoos... Southern League champions. They won 2 in Kodak in the last 2 nights. So Congratulations, Pensacola.
No, don't congratulate them.
No, it's been a long year for them. They competed hard.
Their trains in the Pensacola Blue Wahoos are now our biggest rivals.
We're proud of our Tennessee Smokies and how they competed this year. Really long year. They did a great job.
Maybe year 49 is the breakthrough.
Next year's it.
Or do they get to 50?
I don't know. Cubs farm system's on the rise. Loads of talent in there.
Hopefully they can stay long. Stay around long enough to.
Did you ever watch Christopher Morel go through there, Andy?
Sure did. Yeah, he was there like all summer. And then whenever he got called up, I think that was either like late May.
Was he
June.
Called up straight from AA?
Straight from right here. Yeah.
I like Morel.
I love
He's
Morel.
A nice guy. Really
there's
nice.
There's a video that Sam sent me of like a this like adorable like, Cubs grandmother.
Yep.
That just don't know why, but she specifically loves Christopher Morel more than any player in the world. And like she
That's
was
awesome.
He gave her his like necklace or something. She was in tears. Like, oh my gosh, this is the best day ever. And I was like, man, I like me some Morel. He was also on my fantasy team, so that helped.
There you go. Yeah, Kodak was buzzing when he hit that home run in his debut earlier this year in June or whenever it was.
Kodak's always buzzing.
You're right. Yeah.
You're right.
You're right. But yeah, no, Christopher Morel's a good guy. He was 2 years as a Smokey. I guess a year and a half.
There we go.
Well, next year's our year, boys.
Christopher Morel, Kodak made.
Next year's Truly. Our year. We'll go ahead and catch a break here. Come back on the other side. We'll get back into football. Stay with us here on the Blitz. Back here on the Blitz. As we continue to get you through your Thursday. Hey, you missed it yesterday. But guess what? It's back in just 6 more days. That's right. Free window tint Wednesdays. Every Wednesday during football season right here on Fan Run Radio, courtesy of our friends over at G&J Auto Graphics. You can register today by heading over to fanrunradio.com/tent. That is fanrunradio.com/TINT, where you can sign up and have your name in the drawing for free window tent Wednesdays. Every Wednesday right here on Fan Run Radio, we'll be giving away a free window tent. Man, they're awesome. They look sweet, and they feel good. It cools your vehicle. I mean, it maintains a fantastic temperature in there. No reason to not want a window tent, especially when they're free. So make sure you get registered. They're courtesy of our friends at G&J Auto Graphics. You can check them out online at gnjauto.com. So now I want to play a little game here, gentlemen. Again, theme of this week, the bye week. We're a third of the way through the college football season. We did this earlier with national championship futures. I want to do it today with Heisman futures. So if I give you $200 of fake money for you to bet on the Heisman based on the odds over at FanDuel Sportsbook, you can go pull them up, look at them yourself right now. Your favorite C.J. Stroud at +125, Bryce Young +500, Caleb Williams +600, and then Hendon Hooker, fourth best odds in the country, +1600. So I give you $200. You can distribute that however you would like. Andy, I'll ask you first. You have it pulled up? You ready to go?
Yeah, I've got it.
$200. How are you betting the Heisman board right now?
Man, this is a really fun question. Just because I feel like it's a pretty open race. Like, mm-hmm. There really hasn't been one guy that's this is the guy. Like, last year, you kind of saw Bryce Young separate himself, and you were like, all right, clearly this guy is going to be at the Heisman ceremony. And you assume that maybe just because he won it last year, he'll be back at the ceremony. And if Alabama continues to win, he'll just be there no matter what, because he's going to put up, you know, decent numbers. Same could probably go for C.J. Stroud. Like, he's probably just going to be there, even though I haven't even been, like, ultra impressed with C.J. Stroud yet. But if you're giving me this fake money and I'm sprinkling it, I'm obviously putting a good amount on Hendon Hooker. Just the way he played on Saturday, was the best quarterback in football on Saturday. And I think he's only just getting started. And I think as Tennessee continues to win big games, he will just continue to rise. So I feel like he's the highest rising player in the top 10 at the moment. So I'm going to put a little bit on Hendon. I honestly think Stetson Bennett might have the best chance to win the Heisman right now, which is crazy to think about coming from the beginning of the year. You know, people were saying Stetson Bennett was maybe like the seventh, eighth best quarterback in the SEC. Looks really good. Georgia's clearly.
He shaved his head.
Did he really?
And he bulked up.
Yeah,
like,
he looks stronger.
He no longer looks like future Mercedes-Benz of Athens salesman Stetson Bennett, who,
he can play on Sundays now.
Needs to head to the library after practice. Like, he looks like, oh, wait, that's like.
It's an NFL build.
Jacked, like, athletic Stetson Bennett.
Yeah.
What a glow up for him.
Just the fact that, he looks really good, and people have obviously taken notice of his progression. He's on the best team in football right now. If they keep destroying teams, there's no chance he's not in the conversation and at the ceremony at the end of the year, and I feel like he gets a really good shot. I'm putting most of my, if I have this fake money, I'm putting most of it on Stetson Bennett, to be honest with you, just from how good George has looked and at the odds he's at. I mean, him and Hendon have the same odds, right? They're kind of around the same.
Stetson Bennett is +2,500.
Okay. Yeah, I like that. I mean, I think those are still probably pretty low for where he's at. And then with the remaining, I'll kind of split pretty evenly between Hendon and Stetson. With the remaining, I'll put a little bit the thing is, I wouldn't put anything on Bryce Young, because I just don't think he's going to win the Heisman back-to-back years. Even if he does end up being the best player stat-wise, which he could, I just don't think you give him the Heisman a second time. I feel like there's just always like a politics thing where you just don't do that unless he's clear and away by far the best quarterback. But you have to do so much better than you did last year to be considered again, I think. And we haven't seen that yet. So the remaining money I would probably put on C.J. Stroud, just given that Ohio State's probably going to be undefeated, potentially, by the time you go to the Heisman ceremony. And with that, and if he does things that impress, I feel like he has a good chance. But I know he's the favorite, so that might be dumb.
I tend to like what you did, Andy, honestly. You reflect a lot of what I'm about to do. But first, Sam, I'll go to you. You got $200. I just gave it to you. Boom, it's in your hand. You can bet it however you want, but you got to bet it on the Heisman board. How you doing it?
All right. I'm going to go I'm going to knock $50 out and go Jalen Daniels at plus 3,000. Try and get a quick 1,500 there. I like that Stetson Bennett play a lot there, Andy. I think I'm going to go with I'll do another 50 on Stetson Bennett, and then I'll do 100 on Hendon Hooker. I think there's like a very legitimate argument that Hendon Hooker is the Heisman favorite right now, to be honest with you. Like, I think Hendon Hooker's done the most out of those quarterbacks ahead of him. If Caleb Williams, C.J. Stroud, and Bryce Young, like, I think Hendon Hooker has done the most out of those guys so far this year, especially with who they've played.
The only thing that doubts me about Hendon winning the Heisman is that he is going to be at such a disadvantage in terms of, you know, a team that could be undefeated like Georgia, a team that could be undefeated like Alabama. I don't think any of us expect Tennessee to be undefeated at the end of this year. It could happen. It really could, but I don't think that's ever been the expectation this year, is to be undefeated.
We would need one of the big wins, I think, against Bama or Georgia.
It would have to be like a Johnny Manziel or like a RG3, where no one else has like completely separated themselves in a team like an A&M team that year and a Baylor team that year that they didn't win 10 games in the regular season. It has to be like that.
It does kind of feel like this is shaping up to maybe be one of those years, though. That is the one cool thing, I think, right now for Hendon. If he's 10-2 and he continues the stats with the stats that he's had, at the very least, he'll be in New York, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So you got 50 on Hendo Cinco, right?
I have 100 on
100 on Hendo,
50 on Bennett, and 50 on Jalen Daniels.
And 50 on Jalen Daniels. Jalen Daniels, an interesting one.
I think he deserves to be in the conversation. It's just like,
yeah, I just want to see Kansas keep being good.
I just don't think Kansas is ready for a Heisman Trophy yet.
I mean, I do love me some Jalen Daniels.
Yeah, but just think, like, what are the odds that a guy from Kansas, unless they go undefeated?
And it's just not happening. I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm on the same boat as you guys. I'm putting 50 on Hendon Hooker to win 800. I think he should be the Heisman favorite. I think he is the Heisman favorite as we enter week 4 or week 5.
It's pretty cool.
I'm also putting 50 on Stetson Bennett. 50 wins you $1,250.
I think that's the steal.
That to me is the best odds out there. Like, I'm at least close to.
He's Stetson a good quarterback on the best team.
Yeah, a good quarterback on the best team, and you can get him
at
25-1 odds. That's chef's kiss all day. So that's 100 of my dollars gone. 50 more. A guy that I think both of you failed to mention, and this is where I think the best odds in terms of value on the entire board lie. A guy that is maybe flying under the radar nationally. Blake Corum at Michigan right now is sitting at 40-1 odds. $50 nets you $2,000. Blake Corum is averaging nearly 8 yards a carry. He has he's on pace for 2,000 yards rushing at the college level right now. Or no, I didn't do that right. He's on pace for a little bit less than that, but he's right around 500 yards right now. Math is hard sometimes, Andy. He's, again, averaging about 7.5 yards a carry, almost 8, almost 500 yards on the season. He has 9 touchdowns already, and he hasn't even been playing second halves. I mean,
yeah, that's the thing.
Like, he got 9 carries against Hawaii and 12 against
UConn. Finally got a full workload against Maryland.
He finally got a full workload, and he went for 243 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Carries. Like, they fed him
over 8 yards a carry.
And this guy's 5'8".
Yeah.
Like, he's not your typical, like, Derrick Henry Heisman winning back. I mean, he's like a Mark Ingram, I guess.
Like, I urge all of you right now to go hop on the FanDuel Sportsbook and make sure that you just put a little something on Corum at these odds, because those odds are not reflective of the year that he's been having so far. And
I got him in the touchdown draft too.
You do.
And
Michigan, a good football team. You know, whatever you think about them, they're going to be in the conversation. And from there, I have $50 left. I'm going to go 20 on Mohamed Ibrahim.
Okay.
Of Minnesota.
Sure.
Just talked about how good of a year that Blake Corum's having. Mohamed Ibrahim has nearly 600 yards.
Yeah. No,
he has eight touchdowns, and he has 6.5 yards a carry.
He's not on Michigan, though.
That's why it's only 10, and that's why his odds are significantly better. You can get him right now 20 to win you $1,600. And then with my last $30, I'm going to go three dart throws. $10, throw a dart, see if I can get a good cash out, you know, in another 6 weeks, because these guys are having good statistical seasons. But for whatever reason, they probably won't win the Heisman. I'm going to put $10 on Drake May. I love me some Drake May. I think he'll be a first-round draft pick in a couple of years. Top 10 pick, maybe. I'm going to throw $10 on Jaren Hall, the quarterback of BYU. That wins you $1,500. I think BYU is still going to be in the conversation at the end of the year as a double-digit win team, as a New Year's Six bowl team. And Jaren Hall, an impressive quarterback. And then I'm going to put $10 on Tanner Morgan, the quarterback of Minnesota, to win $1,000 as well.
You like Minnesota, don't you?
I really like Minnesota. I think that their schedule is really favorable. They don't have to play a lot of the best of the Big Ten. They don't really play any of them. So with that schedule, you know, they're shaping up to be able to be like a 10 or 11 win football team if they can just take care of business, which is easier said than done, obviously. But, you know, with that schedule, if they can win 10 games, if they can win 11 games, and Tanner Morgan or Muhammad Ibrahim, you know, if they can get to the Big Ten championship and lose to Ohio State, and Muhammad Ibrahim or Tanner Morgan, like, has the kind of year that they're on pace for, it's worth a dart throw at the odds that they're at. So, I don't know. I'm more of a value guy. I look for value, and I look for cash outs when it comes to betting the Heisman.
Yeah, I feel like I'm a little bit too realistic in the fact that's like, if you're going to be a Heisman winner from a school that's not going 12-0, 11-1, then you have to, like, do something miraculous. Like, you have to be running around the field like Johnny Manziel and, like, catching, like, almost fumbling and then hopping over defenders and then finding a wide open Mike Evans in the end zone. Like, you have to be, like, very talked about. Like, it's almost so much about, like, public buzz more than it's like, this is a dark horse because you personally watch a lot of college football, so you know a lot of these players. But, like, if the public doesn't know you, if you're not getting talked about, you're not winning the Heisman. And it's unfortunate that it is that way, but that is the way it goes.
The way I like, I get what you're saying. The way I like to treat futures markets, especially with college football, is like the stock market. You just buy and sell all season long. You buy low, sell high.
Okay.
I rarely ever hold on to a Heisman ticket.
That's a good call.
Through the Heisman ceremony.
I'm going to nail it. I'm trying to nail it.
Like, I last year, I had a lot of luck with it. Just right before you think a guy's about to have a big game, bet his Heisman odds. He has a big game, cash out. I was able to do that with, like, Kenneth Walker last year and like, quadruple my bet. I was able to do that last year with Bijan Robinson and double a bet. Like, I think that that's how you can attack the futures markets. That's what I like to do. But, Sam, we'll catch a break here. And we'll be back on the other side with a little Thursday fact or fiction. I run a race with my queen, I learned to nip. But I got rich on all these, I didn't forget back. I had to go through the struggle, I didn't forget that. I hide inside of the Maybach and now I can sit back. Deep, know me now, cause I got them big breath. Cause I'm getting money. Back. I know you heard that. Young, on the corner. Back here on the Blitz. Man, we need, we always joke about like a Between the Breaks podcast that like you can just put behind like a Patreon and make people pay for.
That's a good idea.
That's a pretty good idea, actually.
It is.
Fox Sports Plus.
Yeah,
like,
Fox Sports Plus, yeah. Between the breaks.
Between the lines.
Between 3 and out.
Extra
and, like,
content.
Talk Sports,
yeah.
And us. Like, there's some interesting stuff. But it's Thursday, and it's 11:37, which means that it's time for maybe a shortened fact or fiction here. So, Sam, what you got for us?
Yeah, I'm doing a little modified fact or fiction here. Going into the NFL realm here, thinking about, are these teams a contender or a pretender in the league this year? Mm. I'm going to start off.
Do you want to say, like, are these teams contenders first and we say fact or fiction? Yeah.
Okay.
So start with, like,
so you want
is this
to...
team a contender?
Okay.
And then we'll say fact or fiction.
I like that.
There we go.
Is this team a contender? The Los Angeles Chargers.
Fiction. The Chargers are not a contender. I talked about it earlier this week. they didn't address the middle of their defense. They're still struggling to stop the run. They now don't have their best left tackle. Their right tackle, not great. So Justin Herbert, who's already injured, is now also going to be facing a lot of pressure. They don't, I think, have the deep threat that that offense needs. I understand that Mike Williams is really good at catching a ball and high-pointing a football once he's down there, but it takes him a while to get down there. It takes Keenan Allen a while to get down the field. So it's hard to take those shots downfield when you don't have an offensive line that can hold up for your injured quarterback to be able to take those shots. And I think it's making the Chargers' offense far more one-dimensional than it should be. Brandon Staley, I think he's kind of gone away from what actually like gave him an edge to make him a potentially better coach, but you still have all the bad associated with him. So I think that experiment's going to crumble here shortly, and I think that things could get really ugly for the Chargers this year. I'm going to go fiction.
I'm also going to go fiction, maybe not as a disastrous collapse as you're projecting. I just don't think it's their year. You went full, like, yeah, this
team is gone. It sounds
like
the Chargers are the number one pick next year.
Yeah, no, I'm not going that far. I'm not going to react that harshly to them already.
I mean that. I mean relative to their expectations. Like, yeah, I still think they're like a 7 or 8 win team.
Okay, I think they'll win more games than that. I think they still can make a wild card spot. I think the Chiefs are pretty clear in the AFC West. It's weird that we were saying that now because it looked like this division was going to be so tight, but like, I still think the Chargers have like can be second in the division. I don't have faith in the Broncos, and the Raiders look like a disaster to start. Like, and I do think the Raiders will eventually, you know, win a game, obviously. But like, I don't think I'm saying fiction because this was a Chargers team that obviously I feel like a lot of people were saying should maybe compete for a Super Bowl. They're not ready for that. It's clear that they're not ready to win a Super Bowl yet. They've dealt with a lot of injuries, unfortunately, but you know it's part of the game. But unfortunately, it's hit them very tough so far through 3 games. So I'm going fiction in the fact that they're definitely below expectation. They can still make the playoffs, but they're not a contender for the Super Bowl.
All righty. We'll go on to the flip side here. Are the Philadelphia Eagles a pretender, fact or fiction?
Andy, you go first, because I got a surprise for us I got to go walk out and get.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Eagles, fact or fiction, they're pretenders. I'm going fiction again. I think they're definitely contenders. Now, I'm not chalking them up as like my Super Bowl favorite at this point, like a lot of people are, or like a Super Bowl appearance, the NFC favorite, like a lot of people are. But I definitely think that they are contenders. They've shown that, you know, Jalen Hurts has shown that he has taken his game to another level. He has the targets that he has confidence in. Adding A.J. Brown has really helped not only Jalen Hurts, but also Devontae Smith. Devontae Smith just had a fantastic game. I think the defense is certainly something been confident as well. They've looked really good. They've looked sharp. They've made a really good Vikings offense from 1 week look terrible the next week. So the Eagles, in my opinion, are definitely a Super Bowl contender. So I'm saying fiction on the fact that they're a pretender. I think they still win the NFC East. Do I think they win the Super Bowl? They're not my pick yet. They still got a lot to prove, but I think they're definitely a contender.
Yeah, man, this is one of those where it's like they're proving you wrong. I didn't expect this from the Eagles, and it's hard to admit that you're wrong when it's just week 3 because, you know, things can still change and you can still be right. But I think I'm wrong. I think I had the Eagles all wrong. Jalen Hurts, I mean, the guy just continues to impress. His development, it's unlike any other quarterback we've ever seen. The way that he's been able to progress, just exceptional to watch. And now the way that they're attacking the middle of the field, I mean, just wild. The way that they've been able to successfully do things that a year ago it felt like, I mean, it was rocket science for them, and now they're doing it with ease. I still have some questions, like that first game against the Lions, not a very good defense there, and they just force-fed the ball to, you know, A.J. Brown.
They've gotten better, though. This past week, destroyed the Commanders.
Right. The next week, you know, you played Monday night Kirk Cousins. Anyone could beat Monday night Kirk
sure.
Cousins.
Yeah, fair.
And then, you know, last week, a bad Commanders team. Or at least
but
not
a Commanders
team
that normally scores more than
right.
9 points.
But you did score all your points in like one wave in the second quarter. So like I still have maybe some questions, and I want to see them against better competition and better circumstances. But yeah, fact, the Eagles are contenders.
All right. We'll go to a team that is playing tonight. The Cincinnati Bengals. Are they a contender?
In the sense contender is like this team can win a Super Bowl, no. I don't see it. And I know that, hold up, how are you going to say that, Charlie? They just went to one last year. Last year, yeah, it was a great run. And I guess like anybody can get into the playoffs and make a run to the Super Bowl if things all click for you, if you have a whistle that doesn't get, you know, heard, if you have a kicker go on a special run and a defense put Ryan Tannehill on a mental pretzel. And you know, if you have all these things work in your favor, yeah, you can make a run. But is this team built to be able to make a run that they should make? No, I don't think so. I think that they're still issues to be addressed, especially with that offensive line. I mean, you saw them get abused by Micah Parsons and company, which people will, but abused more so than they should have.
That happens every week.
I'm going to go with faction here.
Faction.
You're cheating with the faction.
It lies in between because, like, they're a contender in the sense that, like, they're going to be relevant and potentially in the playoffs, but I don't see a scenario where they get to or win a Super Bowl this year.
I'm going to go with fact that they are a contender. To me, I'm kind of in the sense where I'm not overreacting yet to their start, in that, you know, I do still feel like they have the weapons to overcome this start. Obviously, getting that first win was a big step. I think if they win tonight in against Miami, I think the narrative completely changes. So I feel like tonight is kind of like, this is that moment for them where people are either like, okay, they're back on track, they're Super Bowl contenders again, or if they start 1-3, it's time to start thinking like, all right, what's the problem here? Do we got to work on something? Like, what do we have to change? So tonight is a really big moment. Maybe we'll be saying something different tomorrow if they win or lose. But for now, I have confidence in still this team and that they're going to figure things out. I don't think the defense is terrible. I think the defense has been pretty good. It's just really the offense is not at the level that you expect that group to be. The line has been the issue. So, obviously, I feel like with that offensive line, you can't win a Super Bowl. That's one of the key components of winning a Super Bowl. You got to have a good line, only so much that Joe Burrow can really do on his own. So, they're not my Super Bowl favorite, but I still think they're going to contend at the end of the year.
Fact or fiction? Crumble cookies are delicious. It's an easy fact. We just got some crumble cookies in the building from our friend Logan Quinton. Just dropped them off. Oh, my gosh. The cookie cutter? It's around. I've seen it out recently.
Yeah.
I'll find it again.
Ooh.
I guess if we can't find it,
I have to eat the chocolate chip cookie,
and you guys can deal with the rest. No, we got a good looking lineup of cookies this week. It's they got a couple new flavors I saw in their lineup this week. Obviously, you have your typical chocolate chip, some of the best chocolate chip cookies I've ever had, milk chocolate chip specifically. You have your classic pink sugar. Looks like we got a lemon glaze this week and a caramel pumpkin. But two new flavors, a raspberry butter cake and a peanut butter cream featuring Nutter Butter.
Mm.
They smell delicious. They look delicious. They are presumably delicious. They've always been delicious when I've had them. Oh, man. You guys got to go check out this lineup at Crumble Cookie. It is looking really, really good. Best bets coming up on the other side. I got a lock of the day.
And it's going to be a lock with these cookies in
it. It's going to be me eating a crumble cookie between now and Best Bet. That's my Best Bet of the day. Sam, send us a break. Wrap up the show on the other side.
It's a little harder to do cookie. Best Bet with cookie all up in your mouth, huh, Charlie?
This chocolate chip cookie is otherworldly.
It is.
We still got to do Best Bet, though. Still got to do Best Bet. And I got to tell you about our friends at FanDuel. Because right now, well, you can go get a no sweat first bet. Football season, it's underway. There's no better time than now to download FanDuel. It's America's number one sports book. Again, right now, new customers, they can get a no sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's free bets back If your first bet doesn't win, sign up today with promo code BLITZ. Man, we love FanDuel. They're the best sports book for a reason. They have all your favorite bets, money lines, point spreads, player props, and there's nobody out there that gives you a better selection of player props, at least in my opinion, than FanDuel. When I go to build these same game parlays, you can plug in the exact same parlay on other sports books. You get worse odds. You don't get the same options. I mean, FanDuel's just, it's better. You can combine your bets again for a chance at a bigger payout with the same game parlay. And with live betting, you'll get updated odds on games that have already started. And with FanDuel, you get your winnings paid fast. All of that is on an app that is safe, secure, and super easy to use. Man, if I had a no-sweat first bet, I may just be looking at the Titans against the Colts on the road. They're an underdog, but I think they find a way to pull that win out. Anyway, you can sign up today with promo code BLITZ for your no-sweat first bet. Again, promo code BLITZ, B-L-I-T-Z. Make every moment more this season with FanDuel, the official betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. Refund issued is non-withdrawable. First non-withdrawable free bets expire in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call TN Redline 1-800-889-9789.
Are we going to do our same game parlay with Thursday Night Football as we've been doing?
We are.
Perfect.
So give me a best bet and give me a leg of the Blitz SGP.
You want me to lead it off, Charlie?
Well, do you usually lead it off?
Yeah.
Yeah, then I want you to lead it off. Sam, let's get it, baby.
All right. Yeah, I said it in the first 20 minutes of the show. I'm going to take the Bengals money line as my best bet.
Oh, surprised.
I'll probably take their spread, too. Honestly, I like 3.5. Single game parlay, I'm going to go Jalen Waddle over 67.5 yards. They've been designing good ways to get him open. He's just such a dangerous player in space. I think he's got a good night, and I think it's going to be a good game tonight. I think there's going to be a lot of points, too. So I'm going to go Jalen Waddle over 67.5 yards as my single game parlay, and Bengals minus 3.5.
So Bengals minus 3.5, best bet, and then it was Jalen Waddle over 67.5. Cool.
My best bet is also Cincinnati minus 3.5, going with the home team Thursday night. My added leg here for the parlay is going to be T. Higgins, anytime touchdown score. I think he finds the end zone tonight.
All right. T. Higgins, anytime touchdown score here. I'm putting it together on FanDuel as we speak. So I got T. Higgins, anytime touchdown score. Here, I have Waddle's receiving yards over.
Waddle is questionable, technically.
And my same game parlay leg is going to be, I really like this one, Chase Edmonds under 32.5 yards.
Yeah, he didn't get over it last week. No. He had two touchdowns.
I have Chase Edmonds under 32.5 yards. I think the Dolphins get behind early, and they're going to have to put the ball in the air a lot more. And Chase Edmonds really hasn't, like, had a huge game either. You look, Patriots, he had 25, Ravens 33, and Bills 21. So he's been under that number twice, and he's been 1 yard over that number once. Not loving Chase Edmonds over. So I'll take the under. And my best bet is also the Bengals minus 3.5. So that means my best bet, Sam's best bet, and Andy's best bet is all Bengals minus 3.5, which means that you should be sprinting to go hop on the Dolphins, because there's no way all three of us would. That's just,
Yeah, no way.
75% of the bets on the Dolphins tonight.
You're right. We're the sharps here. Also, your same game parlay, plus 577 right now on FanDuel, the one that we just made. 20 Nesha, 115. Pretty nice little play there. Again, T. Higgins anytime touchdown. Jalen Waddle over 67.5 yards. Chase Edmonds under 32.5. Tonight's the night. I think the Blitz boys hit their parlay. But we'll be back same time, same place right here tomorrow. But for myself, Charlie Collier, for Andy Brock, for Sam Beard, we hope y'all have a fantastic rest of your day. Cody McClure and Talk Sports coming up next on Fan Run Radio.